I've never preached a sermon from Genesis and Revelation on one Sunday, never preached a sermon from Genesis to Revelation in one morning. So hang on. We're going to go from the beginning to the end. And some of you who've been with us, we're reading through the Bible, and we're reading through what's called God's Big Plan. And you're welcome to jump in and join us as we're reading through the Bible together. And as we begin this new school year, kind of our kickoff year as a church family, I wanted to stop and look at that big picture. What is God's purpose for our lives? That's an important question, isn't it? What is God's purpose? What is God's big plan for our lives? And one of the resources I used this week was a book called Perspectives, which is going to be a class that we're going to offer come January. Be listening for that. But what is God's big plan for our lives? And if I were to pick just one word that would say one word encompasses God's plan for our lives, God's plan is that we glorify Him, that we glorify Him. Now, that's a religious word, isn't it? Glorify. We use the word glory a lot. But I want us to think about that word just for a moment. To glorify is to put on display the character of God so that others can be introduced to who He is. Think about that. The heavens declare the glory of God. When you look at the beautiful creation, you look at how great God is, it puts on display His character. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." So if to glorify is God's purpose, God's plan for us, I want us to think of that in terms of these three mission priorities: exalt, edify, and evangelize. So how is it that we glorify God? How do we put Him on display so that others see how wonderful our God is? That to glorify means that our attitudes and our actions and our words would display God to others. Now, that's a big, tall order, isn't it? Think about that. You are God's representative before others every day of your lives. As you were driving to church late this morning, as your little one was very unprepared to go to church this morning, as you reflected on all your responsibilities of life, did you find displaying God's glory was not an easy thing to do? It really is not. It's a supernatural thing, this displaying God's glory. It is depending on God's Spirit in us to go look through us. Someone told me this story this past week. Saw a mom with a little three-year-old in the grocery store, and the little three-year-old was a little three-year-old in the grocery store and, wanted to grab some gum. No. And this gentleman heard the woman say, "Jennifer, be patient. You'll get home for a nap soon." And so he was in another row, and that little girl was taking things off the shelf and crying, and he heard that voice again, "Jennifer, be patient. You'll be home soon for your nap." They get in the checkout line, and there's one last temptation, and one candy bar comes off, and sure enough, the gentleman hears again, "Jennifer, be patient. You'll be home for your nap soon." And so the gentleman just had to go up and compliment this dear mother. "Mother, you've been so patient with Jennifer all this time." She says, "No, my name's Jennifer." That's Ellie. She was talking to herself, how do I display the patience that I should display in this challenging world? So what is our mission? God created, let's go back to the beginning. God created Adam and Eve in his image. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? It means to be created in his likeness, to enjoy a relationship with him, and to put him on display before others. There was a kind of a pole called a stele that was put on the corner of the kingdom, and on the stele was a image of the king carved into that stele. And so when somebody was traveling by, they'd see the image, and they know whose kingdom this is. The image reflected the image of the king, and that showed that this was his kingdom. When God created you and me in his image, he was declaring, you are representing me and my kingdom. And when we become followers of Jesus Christ, we are being transformed or conformed into the likeness or the image of God's Son. So we were created for a relationship with our Creator. We are created to display him in all we do. So our mission is to know God, to exalt him, to become more like him. That is, to be edified, and then to make him known, which is to evangelize. Last week, we talked about the influence of the workplace. But we have circles of influence in our home, our neighborhood, where we're shopping. In all the contexts of life, God places us to declare God's character. Now, I wanted to walk through then and see how that theme goes through the Bible. And we see that that theme is first rooted in the loving heart of God. It is rooted in the character of God. What he's asking us to do is express who he is. The mission begins with him because God is a missionary God. Now, Adam and Eve, they rebelled against their creator. They said, we're going to live life our way, not by your rules. We're going to create our own rules. Guess what the consequences are of creating your own rules and rebelling against the Creator? Death. The New Testament says the wages of sin is death. Now, you would think God, who created Adam and Eve, put them in a perfect place, the garden. They rebel against the Creator, say, we don't need you. What would you have done if you were God? Would you have just said, you've chosen your path, you're on your way? Instead, this was the response of the Creator. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they, that is Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Now, he knew where he was, right? But what do we see? We see God pursuing lost people. God pursuing those that rejected him. The theme of the whole Bible is that God is a loving God in pursuit of restoring a relationship with rebellious people. That's very different, isn't it? The God of the universe is in pursuit of us, a relationship with us. He created us in his image for a relationship, and he's pursuing that relationship and making that relationship possible. We find in Genesis 3:21 that he made garments for Adam and Eve out of animal skins. It already was a picture that a sacrifice was necessary to restore that broken relationship. We see the whole message of the Bible is that God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's God pursuing us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's God pursuing us. And as God pursued, he chose a people for himself. He chose the people of Israel. The people of Israel we think of as the chosen people. But often when we think of chosen, we think of being recipients of God's grace. And that's true. But what scripture that was read this morning from Genesis chapter 12 was that Abram was called by God, and he was promised blessings from God, a great nation, a land. But what was the last promise he gave to Abraham, to Abram? He said, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Was Abram chosen just to be a recipient of God's love? Or was he chosen also to display God's glory to the rest of the world? See, he's a receiver, but he's to be a reflector, and then he's to reach out with God's love to others. Abram was a beneficiary of God's blessing, but he was also to be a means of God's blessing. The mission designed was a mission designed for the history of Israel. The Lord, the Creator God, spoke. The one and true only God revealed himself fully and finally through his Son, Jesus Christ. He spoke to Abraham, not because he didn't care about anyone else. John Stott wrote in this book, Perspectives, God chose one man and his family in order through them to bless all the families of the earth. That's why God has chosen us, to be children of Abraham by faith, not simply to be recipients of God's grace, but to reflect God's grace, to display it, and to declare it. It's show and tell. That's what God's called us to do. Show him and tell others about him. I just highlight some of these themes of what God said to these people of Israel. He says in Exodus 19, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." A priest represented the people to God and God to the people. God says to the nation of Israel in Isaiah chapter 42, "I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations." What was he wanted them? He wanted them to display his glory. Isaiah 43, "You are my witnesses." And so you can see the theme going through the Bible. God created us in his image for a relationship with him. We rebelled against it, but the God who loves us pursued us. And then he pursued a people who would not only be recipients of his grace, but communicator of his grace to others. Well, where is God's glory most fully revealed? In Jesus Christ. Right? In Jesus Christ. I'll jump ahead to John. You can see I'm making progress through the Bible quickly. John chapter 17, reading it this morning, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you've given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do." Jesus came to this world, and he is an example. He models for us what it means to glorify his Father. He did the work that God had called him to do. When he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He said, after reaching out to Zacchaeus, "I came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus demonstrates for us that a loving God is in pursuit of a relationship with people he has created, wanting to restore that relationship. And Jesus, by his life, demonstrated who God is, and by his death, demonstrated the character of God. So, Jesus, the mission was modeled by the Son of God, and then the mission is mandated for the followers of Christ. Now I'm getting closer to home here, aren't I? Jesus, when he walked this earth, told the fishermen by the Sea of Galilee, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He had three mission priorities for his apostles. Follow me. That's a relationship that exalts Christ. We are literally to delight ourselves in this relationship with God that he's invited us to have, to delight in him. Then he says, "I will make you." He's saying, "I'm going to transform you, to put you on display so that others see what I'm like." Finally, he says, "Fishers of men." And that is, "I'm going to equip you and empower you to declare the good news to others." So Jesus is inviting us into this same mission that his Father has set out on, and that is restoring people to this relationship with God and to walk with him. We are to be his witnesses, Acts 1:8. Word martyr, right? 15 years ago, some individuals were martyrs for what they believed to be true. They thought that by going into the Twin Towers, that they would have immediate access to heaven, to paradise. Well, they really didn't know who God was. They didn't know the very character of God. In fact, they were misrepresenting who God really is. They died for what they hoped to be true. The apostles, they died for what they knew to be true. They knew Jesus died and rose again. And they were sent out to be his witnesses, to represent him before others. We are being sent out as witnesses. We are sent out to represent him, to display his glory. The mission is completed when we get to Revelation chapter 7. Notice that Revelation chapter 7 is really a fulfillment of what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, where it says in verse 9, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude." Abraham's name was changed from Abram to Avraham, father of multitudes. That multitude certainly were the multitude of people of Israel, but also it became his multitude. Was he became a blessing through his descendant Jesus for the whole world, for all nations. He became the father of the multitude, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Do you see the picture? God will complete his plan. God's big plan that came when he was sought to reconcile Adam and Eve to himself and chose the people of Israel and gave them a mission to declare his glory to the whole world. And then when you and I came to faith in Jesus Christ, we became children of Abraham by faith and now gave us the mission. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations. You shall be my witnesses." And I wanted to hone in at the end on this word gospel. Dennis shared with Ray the gospel. And think for a moment, if our purpose is to glorify God, to put his character on display, think about this. What is the most clear presentation of the character of God? What puts his character on display? What's the answer? What puts God's character on display? The cross, the gospel, which centers on the cross. The gospel, think about it, is the display of the glory of God. Why do we get so excited about telling others about the gospel? Because it's telling them who God is, what he's like, and what he's done for them. The gospel is the glory of God. Think about that. Gospel displays the glory of God. In the gospel, we see that God is a holy and righteous God. That's who he is. In the gospel, we see that God takes the initiative because he loves us. And now the cross. At the cross, you see the righteousness of God that demands that sin be punished. But you see the love of God that his own son sacrificially gives his life in our place to restore our relationship with God. Do you see any clearer picture of the glory of God than the gospel? What is our purpose? What is God's big plan? That we display his glory. How do you display his glory? You delight in who God is by exalting him. You edify, becoming more like Christ in how you live. And lastly, you evangelize. You declare the gospel every time you display and declare the gospel, you are giving the greatest testimony to the glory of God. You got it? The gospel presented is the glory of God displayed. What is God's purpose for us? What's going to last longer than 10 years? Longer than 100 years? Longer than 1,000 years, everything else we do is subservient to the greatest purpose of all, and that is to display the glory of God through the gospel. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be reminded of your great plan, your mission priorities for us. We truly desire to display the character of Christ. And we know that we cannot do that apart from receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ, receiving the forgiveness of sins. So this morning, our prayer is that each one who's come today has come to that point of saying, Lord, I am a sinner. I have fallen short of your character expressed in your commands. Forgive me of my sins. I invite Jesus into my life to change me. And Lord, as you come into our lives by your Holy Spirit, only as we're empowered by the Spirit, your Spirit, are we able to reflect your character in our actions, our attitudes, and our words. May we represent Christ through the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.